Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Bravo, macht Tempo, wartet auf Harte. Zwanke kommt und jetzt ist es Klos. Also Arminia Bielefeld.
Penny, 2-0. 2-0 für den FC St. Pauli.
Diese
Flanke, Tor, nächster Treffer.
Ist heuer Fernandes mit vorne. Ja klar ist er mit vorne. Kittel mit der Ecke, Puyatmann und da!
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. It has been a very, very busy week. 3 match days in the space of 10 days. We've seen the transfer window finally close. And, you know, we are entering the final 14 game stretch before the end of the season. It's going to be busy between February and the end of May. But what we do know is that it will be hotly contested as we expect. And there's going to be, well, hopefully some good football, as we saw on the weekend. On today's episode, we are going to discuss all the action from match day 19, talk a little bit about the transfer window, and look at how the teams are tracking in 2021. As per usual, my teammates, to help me discuss all the action from the Zweite Bundesliga this week, is Eva Lotte Bohler. Eva, good morning. How are you doing today?
A bit tired, still a bit, well, not really in a good mood from the weekend. But, well, at least the Zweite Bundesliga is always a reason to smile because we had plenty of goals on the weekend and really tired teams at the top of the league.
Indeed, goals are good. I do recall at the start of the week that there was a meme with all the teams in the Ruhr Valley and this strong Herculean figure had the Bochum logo, but they were cut down to size on the weekend by Karlsruhe at home, 2-1. Robin Bournemouth, who decided that he's going to be the man on a goal-scoring tear, he scored on 3 consecutive games in a row, opened the scoring from a set piece. Anthony Lucia was able to tap in a rebound after a save from Marius Gersbeck. And then 6 minutes before the end of regular time, Karlsruhe captain Jerome Gondorf made it 2-1. A pivotal win for Karlsruhe. They have been the best team in 2021 so far. 5 wins and a draw. It does keep them just in touching distance of that promotion positions. A really good result for KSA, who have been, as mentioned, in very, very good form this calendar year. What's impressed you about not only them so far this calendar year, but also in their performance in Bochum?
Well, you have to say that I think especially in the second half, they could have easily lost that game as well because Bochum were a bit better in that half, but I really like the way they still defend it and always found a way to score a goal themselves. I mean, they're very, very good with set pieces at the moment. I think it's those were goals 4 and 5 in consecutive games after a set piece. So they're very strong with that, and they don't even need Philip Hoffmann to score from that, but Sandro defender does it as well. So that's really strong ability from them at the moment. But I like, even if it sounds like they're only good at set pieces, you had a couple of situations in that second half, in the first half, sorry, where they found their way from open play well as well. I think Mark Lorenz had that shot from the distance, which hit the post. I generally like how they play at the moment, the first of the 2021 table, and completely deserved. I do like the way they use the opportunities they have. We talked about it plenty of times throughout the season. At the beginning, they had some struggles really using the chances they had efficiently, but they did way better this time. I mean, they had 5 shots on target equally to Bochum, but they managed to convert them into 2 goals. And yeah, that's why for me they were the deserved winners in the end, because you had the feeling there was a bit more danger as soon as they were, yeah, from open play or from set pieces, somehow near to the goal.
Yeah, I was really impressed with how they were able to really put Borkum under pressure in the first half, and they probably should have had a 2-goal lead heading into the break. But we've seen Borkum as a team, they do find a way to come back in a lot of games. We saw that last week against Sandhausen. They weren't able to do it this time around. Karlsruhe are the form team at the moment in the Zweite Bundesliga. 4 wins in their last 5. They are only 3 points behind Fürth, and then 4 points behind Borkum and Kiel, who occupy second and third position, respectively. Let's move on to the league leaders. That's Hamburg. They hosted Paderborn. It was a 3-1 win for the hosts, Moritz Heyer. And a brace from Sonny Kittel was enough to negate Sven Mikkel's goal just before halftime. It was a really resolute performance from Hamburg, who were really the benefactors of Borkum's defeat. They extend their lead to the top of the table by a margin now of 4 points. They have won now 3 of their last 5. Either they've also had a very positive start to 2021. They're one of the best defences in the league. They've only conceded 5 times this calendar year, 4 wins and 2 draws. Good performance for them. In a way, they weren't threatening the entirety of the way going forward, but when they had their chances, boy, did they take them.
Yeah, you had a feeling at the beginning it was just a copy of the game from the first half of the season, because they scored quite early on the 2 goals, and then Paderborn got one back. But this time, I mean, this game could have easily ended with 5 or 6 goals for Hamburg. They had 21 shots on goal, 12 on target. That's a lot. And they, with Sonny Kittel, they have 12 players this season who've already scored. And this shows how good their squad is this year. And I really like Kittel in this game. There were times throughout the season where he didn't really show what he could do, but you could really see that this time. I mean, that second goal, I think, was beautifully played out. Although the Paderborn defense was, well, they helped in a way that they were not doing anything to defend it well. But I really liked Thomas' display throughout that game. After the 3-1, they left Paderborn nearly zero chances to actually get one back. So, I was really impressed by their performance. And although they showed it the second time now that they can score 3 goals and Simon Terodden does not necessarily need to score for them to win. So you can really see that their whole team isn't relying on Terodden being in a good mood, but they have line of exceptional players that can perform very well. And well, it's quite funny, if you look at the table, the first 3 teams are blue, so it's just a theme this year for the promotion race. But yeah, I do like them best in this year. I do think that they will go up at the end of the season, because at the moment I don't really see them bottling it, but hopefully I didn't jinx it.
Every Hamburg fan is cursing it right now. But they were very good again. And what is becoming evident is the partnership in defence. We know that the cracks have always been later in the season is how poorly they've defended late game situations. But it seems that Ambrosius and Tony Leisner as the 2 centre-backs, with Heyer playing as the number 6, really, really good combination. They've got good play from their fullbacks. A team that is well set, and as it stands, as I touch a piece of wood, for Hamburg fans, they look on their way to promotion for the moment in time. Let's entertain our last game of Group 1. That was the Monday night fixture, a Lower Saxony derby, Hanover and Osnabrück. Big win again for Hanover, who continue their yo-yo form. In their last 5, they have won 3 games, 2 defeats, alternating between the two. Timo Huber scoring the one and only goal, a header from a glorious cross from Genki Haraguchi. Again, what would they do without Genki? I don't know. Huber's getting his second goal of the campaign, but really it was a bit of a goalkeeping mix-up by Philip Kuhn, who really was unsure whether to come or go. He went and he missed, and 1-0 for Hanover. But Eva, I guess there's a real undertone to this, which is to talk about Osnabrück, who started 2021 with a victory. Since then, five consecutive defeats on the bounce. At one stage, they were firmly in the top five. Now they only sit a measly 4 points above the bottom three. It is concerning times for Osnabrück, and it seems that, you know, they are in a lot of, you know, they're in a lot of the games, but just they're very limp in the final third.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you there. I mean, they only had one shot on target in those 90 minutes, and I think that was might have probably be the goal that was choked off because it was offside. I mean, Hannover did a good job keeping them at bay, I think, especially in the in their first third, Osnabrück's last third in that matter. They did a good job in defending. Not something we have seen a lot from Hannover, if you talk about last season especially. But yeah, I mean, they're 17th in this 2021 table, and they can be a bit lucky that they picked up points in the first half of the season, because their last performances weren't really good. I mean, normally in the last two or three games where Osnabrück was involved weren't pretty games to watch. I have the feeling they want to have possession of the ball. I mean, it was quite equal in this game, but they do not really know what to do out of it, especially in midfield. They lose a lot of possession, which can lead to dangerous situations for their opponents. And in general, I mean, Kuhn was still very good on goal. He had seven saves. Of course, minus that one mistake that led to the goal, but they let Hannover have a shot on target or have shots on goal inside their penalty area way too often, with seven shots from the penalty area and two from the 6-yard box. That's just you kind of destroy your own work throughout that. You can be defensively stable, but as soon as you let teams that are better than you on the pitch too much in your half, then there will be a point. I mean, Hannover had in the first half, Osnabrück was closer to scoring an own goal than scoring an actual goal. So because they were so much under pressure. They can be lucky that Dominik Kaiser still isn't the best when it comes to corners. I mean, Hannover had 12 corners in that game. 12. Osnabrück had three. And yeah, you can already see how that game was built up. Although corners do not necessarily say how a game will play out, but you can just see that the amounts of times Osnabrück had to clear the ball in their own third shows how, better Hannover were. And it's not just unlucky. I mean, they scored the goal in the end, but it wouldn't have been a deserved draw, because throughout the game Hannover was just more dominant and showed a bit better performance.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Hannover's first half especially was dominant. They had a number of good chances, with Philip Kuhn, you know, excluding his error was the difference between that result being 1-0 and something like 4 or 5. So he can take, not that it's much of a consolation for him, but, you know, he was really good where it just wasn't happening. And it really is, you know, not so much of a problem yet, but I mean, the 5-game losing streak, which is the worst in the league at the moment, makes you wonder whether, you know, they could have benefited from something. I don't know. They need some help. They've obviously brought in some reinforcements up front. Sebastian Müller from Bielefeld. That's on a year and a half loan, and J-Roy Grott, who they've brought in on free from Leeds. Will it make a difference? We will see, but one thing is certain, that they are very much in struggle town, population one. Let's take our first break, and on the other side, we are going to head to Fürth when Greuther Fürth hosted Erzgebirge Aue. Greuther Fürth were hoping to make it back-to-back wins after their win in midweek when they hosted Erzgebirge Aue on Friday night. Aue were hoping for 3 wins on the spin, but unfortunately the number 3 only meant 3 goals for the host Greuther Fürth. Branimir Hogerta scored a brace in this game, and Julian Green scored his 6th, albeit a little bit fortuitously, it may be said. Fürth have a massive game in midweek, which if you're listening to this on the Tuesday, you'll know that it is on the day of their cup game with Werder Bremen. A good win either for Fürth, who midway through that second half, they brought in a bunch of younger players to really protect a few of their elder statesmen. We did see Marius Funk, who must have some sort of clause in his contract that enables him to play at least one game a season, because he was in goal, didn't have much to do. A good win for Fürth, and they are very much, after their midweek game win, back in the hunt, only a point behind Kiel and Bochum.
Yeah, and especially if you look at the results from Kiel and HSV, it was really important for them to win to, get some points between them and Karlsruhe, for example, but also do not lose touch to Kiel and Bochum as well. And I thought it was a dominant display. You never really had the feeling that Aue would really have the opportunity to take over this game. Although possession was quite equally, Fürth was very dominant. Hogota played a huge role, as well as when Meyerhofer was subbed on again. You could already see that he's a really, really important factor for the Fürth play in general. It's actually the 3rd goal in the 3 consecutive games for Julian Green, which is a first for him. He never managed to do that before. But you can see with Fürth that they definitely know what they have. It's quite important for them before they have that important match against Werder Bremen, of course. Just having a clean sheet. I mean, some things are certain in uncertain times, and that's being our not really a dangerous side away from home. Although they really have to look out, because we've seen a couple of games from them at home where they haven't been good as well. Fürth has a good defense as well in general. I mean, they have in this last 6 games they've conceded 8 goals. 3 wins, 2 draws, 1 defeat. So, they could go better. You could see that the teams that are making some points at the top are probably the teams that have 0 defeats in 2021, because they just don't lose. So that's something they really have to look out for. But in general, they're in a really, really good way. And I think it's going to be really tough to predict this year who is going to be in these last 3 places at the end of the season. So please don't ask us what we think was going to be the promoted sides, because I have no clue.
I mean, they could, and we can give completely different answers every single week. Such is the uncertainty. Unlike certain other leagues where it's a foregone conclusion, there is still a lot of uncertainty. I think with Fürth, we saw early in the season that they were much of a wild card. They had that good run of form after they struggled earlier on. And they do have the pieces. I like what they have in midfield, with Sebastian Ernst and Paul Seguin, as well as Julian Green. There was an article by ESPN on Julian Green claiming he was the best, I think maybe the best midfielder in the Zweite Bundesliga. And while I respect the opinion of the journalist writing for an American publication, the so-called worldwide leader in sport. I don't think he's even the best midfielder in their team, such as the depth that they've got in that position, those positions. And yeah, for our, they just weren't there. Just another pretty typical away performance for them. They just didn't offer a whole lot, and yeah, on to the next one for them. As for us, we shall also go to the next game, which was, well, it was a goal fest. St. Pauli and Heidenheim, and as much as St. Pauli tried very hard to give up the lead, and give up all 3 points, they actually won this game, and it's a very important win for them. They've now won 3 of their last 4, with the defeat to Bochum in midweek. In the last 2 games, I don't even mention this to me, they've given up 5 leads in those last 2 games, but this time they were able to hold on. Guido Burgstaller, Daniel Coffey, Giray, Finn Becker, and Rodrigo Salazar's goal in the 87th minute to give St. Pauli the win. A big thing for Heidenheim was the return of Tim Kleindienst. He comes back on loan from Ghent. He scored a brace in this one, as well as a goal from Christian Kulwetter, who now has 12 on the season. We will be talking about the rest of the teams at the bottom of the table in a moment, Eva, but we mentioned how important it is for teams in that sort of relegation battle to pick up points. And St. Pauli, when you think about it, a couple of weeks ago, that only had 1 win. Now they've won 3 of their last 4. Oh, they're still safe at the moment. Good goal difference in comparison to their rest, but the defense is still a bit of a concern going forward. But the main thing for them now is they're starting to score goals.
Yeah, I mean, there are 14 goals to 12 in 2021. I mean, at least they do not struggle anymore to actually score. You can see how important, Guido Burgstaller is for them. I think he scored in 3 consecutive games in a row, if I'm right here. And in general, they had a good way of always fighting back. I mean, they gave up 5 leads, and after that game against Bochum in midweek, some spirits could be a bit worried that they would have lost that game in the end, how they did against Bochum. But they were never backing down. Of course, it's really, really, costing a lot of energy who to always be in lead and then not be able to protect it, but then never backing down, and that's something they can really build on at the moment. I mean, they're 6th in the 2021 table, because, as you've mentioned, they're really picking up wins. Really, really important, especially if you look at those bottom teams that are starting to picking up points, even in games. We will talk about it in a minute, where you won't necessarily expect them to pick up points. So this is really, really important for them. And of course, their defensive errors. I mean, I did think that Stojanovic didn't really look well in goal this time. But yeah, in general, good performance by them. I mean, they're the first team since October 2019 who managed to get 3 points from Heidenheim. They have been undefeated since then at home. So it's not that easy to pick up points there. And especially to get 4 goals against Heidenheim. I mean, before that they had 6 goals in 5 matches against them, and now they have 10. So yeah, St. Pauli really found a way to pressure Heidenheim as well. So I did like that performance throughout that match.
Yeah, they worked very hard throughout, and as you mentioned, that record, it is very hard to take points at the Voigt Arena. So that's what probably makes it even less likely with the way St. Pauli have been traveling this season, that they would be the team to break the duck. You mentioned Guido Burgstaller. I wish my stats were right sometimes. He has 4 goals in his last 4 games, 3 of those coming in wins. He, I guess, gives them an option that they haven't had, which is someone who, you know, well, they haven't had this season until he's been fit. He missed a significant period of the season so far with kidney problems, but, you know, since he's been able to been in the starting lineup, you look at those last five games, they've taken 10 points out of a possible 15. So in the right direction they are going, are St. Pauli. Heidenheim, yeah, it's been a tough start to 2021. Three defeats out of their first six games. Defenses looked a bit weak, and they were very poor in the game against St. Pauli. Let's head to Würzburg, hosted Fortuna Düsseldorf on Friday. It's the other Friday night game. This game was massive because Düsseldorf had the opportunity to keep in touch with that top four alongside Greuther Fürth, Kiel, and the likes. Würzburg didn't know what the results would be, so they had to make an impression, and an impression they did make. 2-1 winners over Fortuna Düsseldorf. Ruven Hennings got the opening goal of this game, 25 minutes in. But it was a really good counter-attacking game plan that was implemented by Bernard Traoris. And Ridge Muncy was the benefactor. He scored twice in this game to give the Kickers a vital 3 points. They are still adrift of Eintracht Braunschweig, 5 points in arrears. But, Eva, when you're a team that is in the situation they are, much like Wiesbaden last season, winning can just at least amount some sort of pressure to the teams above them.
Yeah, and especially, as I've mentioned before, in games you wouldn't necessarily expect them to get points, at least, and win even more. I mean, this was the first defeat for Fortuna after nine games undefeated. So that was, it is a huge win. And as you've mentioned, that second goal came from a counter attack in their own stadium. And you could really see how they wanted Fortuna to control that game, because normally we've seen that throughout the season, that Fortuna isn't really the team that wants most possession, but Würzburg forced them to. So Fortuna in the end, I think, their average is around 40-45% average possession, and they had 60% in this game. And you could see that I don't want to say they didn't know what to do with the ball, but this wasn't the position they wanted to be in, and that's why Würzburg used that very well, and that was exactly their game plan. You had the feeling they didn't want the ball for most of the time. They wanted to come out of counter-attacks. That was shortly before the end of the game. There was, I think, Pieringer had the chance to make it 3-1. He's a really good addition to the team. He's already, proved to be very valuable for them. And, I mean, Würzburg only had two shots on target, really, but they at least used them quite well this time. They were offside six times, so this is maybe something they really have to work on, the timing. It's a lot of, like, six times. You normally are around two or three in games, so this is a lot. But in general, Munzi had a good game, and in general, this is the third time I said in general, I'm sorry. It was a good performance by them. A deserved win. Was a bit disappointed by Fortuna, though.
Yeah, and it was a massive game for them to actually do so and get a good result and keep in touch, because their form, if we go back to that 5-0 defeat at Bochum, since then they've been very, very good at being able to not only break down defences but score it at will. So it is a surprising result in many ways, but maybe one that's been coming. I mean, they've had some mixed results in 2021, two wins, three draws, and a defeat finally coming up. And perhaps it's maybe the defeat they needed to reinvigorate the squad and once again go on the hunt. But yeah, they will need some help now. They are 3 points in arrears of Fürth, and then 4 points back from Kiel and Bochum. So, they're there and thereabouts alongside with Karlsruhe. Just makes that the following few games coming up are very important if they are to keep in the mix. There is some news on what Fortuna have been doing off the pitch with Felix Klaus, who's only been there, he's only played three games this season with Dusseldorf since joining from Wolfsburg. He will be staying in Dusseldorf, staying until 2023. And before we go to our final break, I wish that Borkum had announced this before we had started, but Thomas Reis, the head coach, will be staying with the club until 2023 as well. So very good and well-deserved contract extension for him. Let's take our final break, and on the other side, we are going to discuss the final three games and have a look at some of the deals that happened on deadline day. We start our final group games at the Holstein Stadion when Kiel hosted Eintracht Braunschweig. Kiel very much to keep in touch with the top three, whilst Braunschweig, knowing the results elsewhere, needed to get a win to keep the gap with Würzburg and as well stay out of the bottom two. Unfortunately for them, they were soundly outplayed by a Kiel side that just wanted it more. 3-1 the final score, and the game was really over by the half hour mark. Fabian Riese, Finn Bartels and Yanni Serra all getting on the score sheet before Yasin Ben Bala getting a consolation goal 63 minutes in. A really tough performance for Braunschweig. And it does seem that a team that really needed offensive reassurance, they didn't get it in this game. Either important result for Kiel, we've mentioned the importance of their result, especially with Hamburg's win, wins to Greuther Fürth, and less to an extent Karlsruhe. It's been a good 2021 so far. They've broken even. They've won that big cup game against Bayern, which we'll never forget. But a good performance, and again, some of the familiar faces getting on the score sheet once again.
Yeah, I would say it was a good first half. Afterwards, you had the feeling Ulevana was kind of, taking off the pressure because of the cup game against Darmstadt, and it worked quite well. I mean, no offense to Braunschweig, but the only shot on target they had was the goal. So it worked quite well what Kiel had planned. They kind of sealed the deal in the first 30 minutes and then, leaned back a bit. They had a chance. Anyway, I think Riese had another chance to get a goal. But in general, they sealed the deal in the first half. Really, really good performance. Of course, if we've seen that with Braunschweig, they concede a lot of goals in the first 50 minutes. They had a couple of games where they did not, but it seemed they're back to it. And as soon as that happens, they seem to be out of the game. I mean, they got that win midweek against Heidenheim. But in that goal was they had a clean sheet, so they didn't need to come back from a goal. And in general, I think that week for Braunschweig was just a tiny bit disappointing after the 4-2 defeat to Hamburg, now 3-1 to Kiel. Gave up 7 goals in those two games. Didn't really know what they were planning with Behrendt as a right back, I think. Just wasn't really... I mean, I've seen him playing for Bielefeld. Basically he's central defender and maybe in midfield, but never on the sides, because once again, no offense to him, but he's not that kind of play you could put on the sides to, actually have speed in the game. And he's not really fast for that. So that's something I didn't really understand. Of course, there was another yellow red card for Braunschweig. A huge amount of those in this season as well. For Braunschweig, way too less in the second half. You shortly had the feeling they could get one more back, but the shots weren't just not dangerous enough. For Kiel, as mentioned, good first half, did what they needed to do and sealed the deal.
Yeah, it was clinical, and with that eye on the cup fixture against Darmstadt, which again is, if you're listening to this today on the Tuesday, is tonight. And yeah, it was just pretty much, you know, do the hard work early, build a cushion, and then, yeah, foot off the pedal and look forward to another midweek game. And with these games stacking up in midweek, player conservation and really ensuring that they are at full fitness going forward, that's going to be very important, because currently sitting third, you know, in a very good position to at the very least make the playoffs, you know, they do have the best defense in the league, and yeah, they've just been very, very impressive and really took advantage of a Braunschweig side that, you know, now has the equal worst defense in the Zweite Bundesliga. Let's move on to Sandhausen and Nuremberg. This was a massive game for both sides. Both teams losing in midweek. Sandhausen knowing that with St. Pauli's win, they would also have to do the business to ensure that they keep in touch with St. Pauli, who have the last remaining safe spot on the table. And they did the business against a very, very ordinary Nuremberg outfit. It was a case of inadequacies in front of goal, the inability to convert chances, and the brick wall, known as Stefanos Carpino. He was absolutely a brick wall, and he was resolute. And really, he put all the pressure on that Nuremberg defense in the end. And as we've seen in recent weeks, the club crumbling under a heap. And it's just another case of ineptitude, and the pressure is well and truly on Robert Klaus now.
Yeah, I mean, at least, as you mentioned, the problem is not that they don't create chances, but they just don't use them well enough. You basically said half of the problems that Nuremberg has at the moment. They didn't score the goals, but they concede them too easily. I mean, Sandhausen had 144 completed passes, and they managed to score two goals with 33% possession and three shots on target. Nuremberg had six shots on target, 18 on goal. But yeah, it says a lot when you see that Scheffler wasn't able to convert one of his chances at all. And of course, it is the tale of Campino in goal as well. You mentioned, yeah, for Sandhausen, they now have two wins, one draw, three defeats in 2021. So they slowly, picking up points, that were necessary, definitely. But for Nuremberg, honestly, I'm a bit surprised that we haven't seen Nuremberg, saying that Robert Klaus is gone. Because I really have to say, I don't know where he is going with the team. The squad itself is not bad. I mean, they have Mats Maladeni, they have Manu Scheffler. They still have people on the likes of Nikola Dovedan, Johannes Geis, but just they don't use it. And I'm not quite sure how they want to come out of that, because even that season, this season is already rotten, basically. There is no way you can really make it better, in my opinion, because after that last season, you could have probably, we said basically, well, there's no way it's going to be as bad as it was last season. And I have the feeling at the moment it's even worse, like just the way they play. I don't know what Robert Klaus is planning with that team. I don't see any kind of structure going forward. The only thing I see is, well, Manu Scheffler is up front, he might score a goal. And that's, for a team like Nuremberg, just way too less.
Yeah, and four defeats in a row now for Nuremberg. And you just really wonder if they are suffering like their, I guess we can call them sister club. And it's just that they're in this kind of vicious cycle where they've got some really good players on paper, but it almost seems a bit of a poison chalice that they can't really string results together. And you just look at their inability to score goals in 2021, and it says everything. Four goals this this calendar year. No, the only team yet to win this season, this year. So that being the year 2021, not the season. So yeah, good win for Sandhausen. The goal scorers, Niels Ruzula and Daniel Caterell. And you knew he enjoyed it, scoring against a former Bavarian derby rival. So happy days for Sandhausen. Let's end our match day 19 review with Regensburg and Darmstadt. This game ended a goal apiece, another close but not close enough for Darmstadt, who couldn't make it two wins on the bounce. Tim Skarker finishing off an excellent Darmstadt move on half hour, and it really looked like Darmstadt were going to get themselves all 3 points. But in the 7th minute of stoppage time, Kaliskana getting the goal to ensure that Regensburg would secure a point and remain in 11th place on the table. Wasn't a great game, admittedly, but a bit different. Jan, you know, we know are a team that are quite rugged. They're very dogged. The game very much suited to the way they like to play. But they really took the assertive in terms of controlling possession in this game. But another really tough result for Darmstadt. I know they've broken their losing streak. They won in midweek to Sandhausen. But the pressure is still on. They're still hovering above the bottom three.
Yeah, I don't really know what to make out of that game. Yeah, it says a lot that those were 14th against 16th in this 2021 table. The only good point I want to point out is that Schuhen was quite good in goal, in my opinion. But that's basically where I want to keep it, because they had that one really, really good chance with Tim Skarker, but in general they only had two shots on target. Hoon was probably one of the players that was trying to keep up the lead, make a second goal, but in the end, although the goal came that late, it wasn't undeserved, because especially in the second half, Regensburg tried to put pressure on Darmstadt, and for Darmstadt, it doesn't look good at the moment. They concede way too many goals, in my opinion, score too less, and they just don't pick up vital points, and it's looking not really pretty. Especially, they should win games like this against Regensburg, and they should win two consecutive games in a row at some stage in this year, and that can be a really tough task. It's not, I don't think for them it's that good they play against Kiel in the Pokal, because I do think that if they would have played an opponent that is from the Bundesliga, you have the feeling that you put a fight into it, that's worth it. And for them, that game against Kiel won't be really pretty to watch, I guess. Do you think Kiel will dominate them throughout the game? And yeah, at the moment, it does not look good for Darmstadt or Markus Anfang, in my opinion.
Yeah, he has been holding on, and you can tell as someone who you try and remain calm through a situation, it's kind of getting to him that, you know, his plan is not really working. But I guess the other problem is, and that's probably what we saw in Köln, is he doesn't really have a plan B when it goes south of the border. And I mean, based on, if you looked on the teams on paper, you'd be back in Darmstadt majority of the time. And yeah, it's just another tough result for them to take. It was one that they had, you know, for the taking, and once again they were not able to convert. Before we go, we did mention that we wanted to talk about the winter transfer window. There were teams that did absolutely nothing, and they had no reason to. The likes of Erzgebirge Aue, Hamburg didn't bring any players in. Hanover did nothing. But a lot of teams had to, you know, bring some players into, for the very least, some depth, or even, as some teams we did see, immediately chuck them in the starting lineup. So Eva, I'm going to give you first crack at this. For you, who do you think was the most important transfer during this window?
Well, I would go with Dongwon Ji for Eintracht Braunschweig because he already showed his impact on the pitch on the weekend. He gave an assist. In general, if you look at his previous appearances in Zweite Bundesliga, it doesn't look that pretty. Although he's a striker, he's not known for scoring a lot of goals. He was, if I'm correct, at Darmstadt. Couple of years ago, in 70 games, he only scored twice. He does have a lot of problems with injuries throughout this year, throughout his years. Has the same problem at Mainz. When he is in the squad, he's mostly not playing or he's either injured. But I do think that he can help Braunschweig just because they need some kind of, creative player up front, and he proved that he could be that on the weekend. I do think he can help. We will see in what way, if he gives assist and I don't know, Jakobi Lanski and Poschwitz and all those players can convert them into goals. That's already a huge deal for them. But I do think he can help them in a way.
Yeah, and he did have that assist in the 3-1 defeat to Holstein Kiel, and yeah, they were a team that we identified as one that needed some offensive punch, which they've lacked very much so. They've got 18 goals this season. That is the worst in the Zweite Bundesliga. For me, there were a number of choices I could have gone with. They mentioned Stefanos Capino, goalkeeper on loan from Werder Bremen, is definitely one. Not saying that Rick Wühler didn't do a bad job, he was quite stable. But Capino clearly has the. Well, he's just been the better of the two, replacing the departed Martin Fraser, who's now at ADO Den Haag in the Netherlands. But for me, I'm going back to an old favourite, a returning son. No, it's not Mats Møller Daly, it's Tim Kleindienst. It is counterintuitive because the problem with Heidenheim has been defensively, but the one thing that you can't have enough of is good attacking weapons. And I'm intrigued to see the dimensions and the dynamic between Kleindienst and Kulwetter, being that Kulwetter has taken the mantle as the number one scoring option for Heidenheim. Kleindienst came in on the weekend, he scored twice, and they both seemed to coexist quite well. Just the question is, can those two drag Heidenheim out of the funk that has been the 2020-21 campaign? We shall see. But signs were very positive in that game against St. Pauli. It's just a shame for them that the defense didn't hold up, because they did look very good together. That's it for another episode of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. We thank you again for your time. We hope you have a fantastic week. We look forward to reviewing all the action from Match Day 20 next week. And until next time, it's goodbye.